Well, hi. Welcome to Cambridge Inside Out.
We almost didn't go on, but that's
right. There you go. I'm Robert Winters.
Judy Nathans.
And today is April 2nd, the day after April Fool's Day.
It's my mom's birthday. She would have been 95.
There you go. So, some people actually wait on April Fool's expecting I'm going to write an April Fool's version of this Cambridge Civic Journal. But
you weren't in the mood this week.
I wasn't in the mood.
You're not in a good mood, Robert. I know. Robert's having overlay problems.
I'm having overlay issues, yeah. Oh, you know, and actually that, again, I don't want to obsess on that one, but the thing is that the this so-called 100% affordable housing overlay proposal or district or whatever they want to call it is still, you know, in its current version where they replaced the FAR standard for how much additional density they want to grant certain parties.
Can you explain what they're using, urban form or form-based? You know, what does that mean?
I'm not going to claim any expertise at all.
What's the word they're using?
It's called form-based zoning.
Okay, yeah. What does that mean?
I can't really say. I'd have to really ask somebody else to say that a little better.
But they're using it now where they didn't use it before. So
you know what? I'll just express my own point of view about it, which is that when they express this proposal, this overlay proposal in terms of FAR, it included things like out in Resident B districts where the permissible residential floor area ratio, FAR, was 0.5. Yeah. They would say, but if you were one of these housing developers, you could build to 2.0, which was four times the density.
So that means you increase the FAR upward, though, not on the ground, right?
No, all around.
I mean,
it's the total amount of floor per, you know, floor, the percentage. Okay. Basically, if it was 0.5, you could build...
Five times more?
No. If it was 0.5, you could build, you know, which is, I think, very low density. That would be, you know, so that's not, that's actually relatively, that's like the western part of Cambridge. You could build a two-story house on a 25% of the lot. So that leaves a lot of open space on the lot, right? I live in a residence C1 district, which is 0.75. So you could go three-quarters of the lot, or more typically do 3/8 of the lot, a two-story building.
All right.
Or you could be a triple-decker. A lot of the housing is actually, predates the zoning code, so a lot of the building wouldn't be permissible by today's standards.
True.
Which to me makes a good argument why generally they should be a little more liberal about density standards all across the board.
Okay.
But what they're proposing is to say only certain parties can build, you know.
So it would go from 0.5 to what?
Well, the original proposal was like, in a Resident B, it was 0.5 up to 2.0, which is quadrupling the density.
That's four times the amount.
And to accommodate some of that, they would relax some of the setback requirements on the side and the front and rear of the lot. Mm-hmm. So basically, you'd have a pretty big box kind of cramming up,
taking up a lot
of the lot, right?
Since what about height?
They would be allow additional height as well.
But only a certain amount, right?
Right. Now under the latest version of this, where they started using all this language of form-based zoning. What they did is, and again, pardon my cynicism, but I believe the reason why they switched that is so that they wouldn't have to put strict numerical values to anything.
Hmm.
I think they thought it would sound less controversial. Oh no, we're doing something innovative. We're doing form-based zoning.
But no one knows what that is.
Nobody knows what it is. And the truth is, and Dennis Carlone, I think very correctly, has said, look, if you want to actually do a switch to more of a form-based zoning way of doing things, that's a discussion that's going to take a good long time.
Right.
You know, that's not something you just willy-nilly throw in there because of convenience.
He said that last night, didn't he?
He said it, I think, at a previous meeting as well. And he's correct.
Hmm.
What the thing is that it would allow, though, I mean, under the current version, there would be places where, like, you know, and I just give my own personal example where in my area, which is a mixed residential commercial, you can build 0.75 residential, 1.0 commercial, right? So, for example, there's a building next to me that is actually just one tall story, but it covers maybe 80% of the entire lot.
Dwell time used to be.
And it has no setbacks whatsoever.
Right.
So I said, well, what would be permissible under your brilliant new idea? And basically they said, well, sure, we could put about a 4 or 5 story building that builds out lot line to lot line, covering 85% of the entire lot. Essentially, Under this proposal, they could basically put a gigantic wall about 5 feet away from every
window. Well, the alley couldn't go away, though.
No, because that's on my property. But the thing is, there would be no setback whatsoever on the adjacent property.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and honestly, it scares the daylights out of me. Mm. And I, you know, and I'll be honest. I mean, I feel betrayed by the city councilors.
Hmm.
The fact that they're just continuing to proceed willy-nilly without...
Well, not all of them. I mean, there's
I'm going to give a big shout-out to Jan Devereaux. Jan Devereaux has actually been the one person who's actually been pretty clear in raising issues.
Hmm.
There was a city council order last night from councilors Devereaux, Carlone, and Zondervan, which basically asked the city to come back with a lot more explanation. But I think... There are some fundamental problems with this whole proposal, the way it's been phrased, and how it even came to be.
Mm.
And I haven't heard any of the councilors really question that. You know, and you know, there are some of us who actually feel that they really need to go back to the drawing board and just rethink this fresh.
Mm. I guess maybe it was public commenters that made sense about this whole Envision thing, and all we're hearing is this and what happened to all the other
stuff. You
know,
I have served on city boards and commissions since I think 1986 or 1987.
Yeah.
So it's now, what is that, over 30 years?
Yeah, me too.
I mean, it's a scary notion, right?
Yeah.
Over 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I have put my all into it. I have the best attendance record in every committee I ever sat on. And, you know, and to me it was always a really good process. When Bob Healy was city manager, it was satisfying. When Richie Rossi was, when he was deputy city manager, was often the point person with a lot of these boards. I served on the Library 21 committee. Richie was sort of the point person. You really got the sense that it was a collaborative process, that what you said was being heard.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had good ideas, they would find their way into the report. When I was on the Green Ribbon Open Space Committee, I made ideas which made it into the text and are actually being implemented today.
Mm.
You know, I've served 3 years on this Envision Cambridge board. I feel like it was a total waste of my time and everybody else's time
and
in the entire city.
And the city's money, too.
Yeah. Oh. I think the only things that have come out of it are basically things that bubbled up from certain individual city staff members who basically used the entire process as cover.
Wow.
Do I sound a little bitter? I think I am a little bitter, actually. You know, the thing is my time has some value, and honestly... You know,
that was a waste.
And I also served on the housing working group that supposedly came up with this proposal.
Mm.
I made a lot of suggestions, and honestly, this was absolutely a waste of my time and everybody's time.
Did you see this coming when you were on those meetings?
I saw the original version of this overlay as proposed, and I spoke out about it right then and there. It was then brought in front of the full Envision Cambridge Advisory Committee, which is what I'm really on, and that's why I was sort of a representative on the Housing Working Group.
Right.
And it was panned. It was panned
in the Advisory Committee?
Yeah. Now, granted, the thing is the 20-ish number of members who are on that, you know, they don't all show up, but of the people who continue to show up, it was soundly panned.
So how come it wasn't paid attention to?
Well, there's my resentment, is that I really
feel...
Well,
you know what? The word advisory is very important.
I understand that, but...
You have no real say.
But, you know, the thing is at least you would be heard.
Yeah.
And if there were reasons for objection, people would hear it, and there would be a feedback mechanism, and things would be improved.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't feel anything positive came of it.
Mm.
You know, and it's a real railroad job that's going on there, and it's bothering me a lot. Yeah.
Well, the fact that it's happening in an election year, I think, means that this is not going to go very soon.
Well, I don't know about that, because
right
now there are some of the new candidates, so basically, you know,
But none of the incumbents so far are leaving.
All of the incumbents are playing or tiptoeing around this.
Not all of them.
Some of them are just emphatic, like the mayor, you know,
right,
and
but
his little soliloquies.
I don't know. I think you've got Carlone and Zondervan and Devereaux.
No,
I mean, listen. Questioning it.
My hope is that
Kelly, maybe.
And there's a lot of political realignments going on.
Yes,
I got to be really clear about
this.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah.
You know, some of the councillors who I was not particularly fans of, I'm actually finding to be the only ones who are speaking reasonably now.
Mm.
And people who I used to think of as friends, at this point, I wouldn't want to eat dinner with them.
Whoa.
You know?
That's strong.
I really do feel betrayed by
I'll have dinner with whoever that is.
Right.
I like free dinners. You
know?
But...
So anyway, I mean, I'm hoping that, you know, some combination of...
Something, I mean, maybe some modification. If you think if there was modification of this, it could be worked
out,
maybe not as of right, number one.
You know, that concerns me more than anything.
Really?
Because if you basically start off with something which has some fundamental flaws in the whole way it's conceptualized... And then you just try and say, and you make a little concession.
Oh, like, you see a modification as a concession?
Well, you make a little concession, you know. So, for example, Councillor Zondervan said, well, maybe this should only apply along certain major streets.
Corridors, yeah.
And not the others. In other words, great, my political constituents here would not be affected. But the thing is that if you happen to be, like I do, live on Broadway.
Which is
like,
sort of
well,
a,
let's concentrate the entirety of this just
bus
on,
route.
And people like me, you know. There's another thing, too. Actually, Patrick Barrett pointed out he wrote a really nice letter to the city council. He wrote it late, so it wasn't part of the package.
Will it be in... Is it a communication?
Yeah, yeah.
So it'll,
it should. Well, it probably will appear amongst the communications but after the fact. You know, but he was really emphatic. And this is a person who normally wants more density around the city generally.
Right.
But he really felt that this entire proposal was just insulting to people. Basically, and I raised this issue with the Housing Working Group. Mm-hmm. I said, explain to me how a person who lives in a property and wanted to make a small extension on the house was subjected to a very extensive variance procedure and maybe didn't get it.
Yeah.
All because he wanted to make a modest improvement.
One neighbor would object, and then
and the house of cards comes tumbling down. So so now
The
neighbor sells his property to one of these companies like Justice Start, and then they build to four or five times the density,
and they have no
with
right
no
to
setbacks, and you have no right to say a thing.
Yeah, it goes from one
extreme, you know, this is insulting to
residential
property owners in this city. And I'm not speaking as a person who somehow feels that that all of the permitted densities in this city are exactly as they should be.
No.
I don't feel that way at all.
Right, exactly.
I mean, there was back in the late 1990s, there was this great Cambridge Residence for Growth Management who wanted to downzone, you know, lower the allowable densities. And I didn't think that was right. I thought they shouldn't be made artificially low beyond what the built environment really is.
Right.
You know, but they wanted to lower everything.
Yeah.
And some of the zoning petitions that have actually come up since have actually put back in a spotty kind of way some of the density that was removed from that.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think that zoning densities should be this sort of permanent state of affairs.
Mm.
You know, but this notion that, you know, because you've got a particular priority about getting more subsidized housing to the city, that somehow you're supposed to just completely obliterate all zoning standards whatsoever.
Mm.
I mean, you know, if that's not radical, I don't know how you define radical.
Mm.
You know, so I'm pretty irate about it, and I'm not the only one. But you know, the problem is I don't want to get lumped in with every person who you know who lives in West Cambridge in a really low density area.
Right.
Because honestly, that's and Patrick makes this point very eloquently. He says that's really not where the new housing would get built. It would basically go to what Dennis Carlones calls the soft sites. In other words, you know, the places where you can get most bang for the buck and where the costs already. The land costs are already going to be at least in the ballpark, you know.
Like
so,
where?
Well, like where I live, for example. You know, I don't think that,
Is
you know.
Is it Cambridge kind of expensive, though?
Not as expensive if you were, you know, out in some other parts of town.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not comparing to go 2138, but still. It's not the port, and it's not, you know,
No,
I agree.
But, you know, in a neighborhood like mine, which already has some... apartment buildings, a few even tall ones,
Broadway,
whatever. Yeah. It's kind of a mishmash of different types of housing styles, different densities, different heights. Some mix in my neighborhood especially, there's even a little mix of residential and commercial, whatever.
Yeah, you're surrounded.
But the thing is
commercial.
Is that everything's actually built pretty close to what the allowable limits are today.
Mm.
All right, you know, and so that, but unfortunately that would become the soft site where, in fact, much of this activity would probably end up being concentrated, you know. And, you know, it's like I wouldn't mind a little change here and there, but, you know, goodness gracious, if I have to, if a 50-foot tall by 80-foot long wall gets built 5 feet from my kitchen window and I have no right to say anything because it would be done completely as of right, then I think I have a right to be a bit upset, right? So yeah, do I feel betrayed by these city councilors? Yes, but we'll wait to see how things proceed. They're going to have a roundtable about on this. I think again on April, was it 8th or something?
I don't.
It's coming up.
It's a day after a city council meeting, right? Is it Tuesday?
It might be on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And then
wait, today's the 2nd.
But they also scheduled two more meetings of the housing committee
night.
As well.
Right. Well, an ordinance committee and a housing committee?
Not
is that
yet.
Something
not yet housing. Excuse me. Not yet ordinance committee.
Okay. I thought there was a second reading to something last night.
No, there was I think there was a second reading to, was it the cannabis zoning?
Oh, you're right. I'm confusing.
Yeah. I mean, there are other things happening beside this, but this is unquestionably
this is drawing the most.
This is what's drawing a lot of the public comment, you know, and, you know, so it is in part, there are people who actually, you know, are residential property owners who have some serious concerns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you have your A Better Cambridge crowd who are who've decided that in fact they're, even though they began as a proponents of transit oriented development, they've decided that that's no longer their mission. You know, their mission is just simply to be promote the subsidized housing. You know, and that's where they're putting all their eggs in that basket now. And they're raising money and they're funding candidates.
Well, everyone funds candidates.
Well, actually, the thing is that there are organizations that endorse candidates. If there's any funding, it's relatively limited. It's usually restricted. Actually, sometimes the candidates pay the organization so that they can put a list of names on and help in the printing costs, and then they distribute them in one way or another, right? You know, A Better Cambridge is actually raising money now, and it's actually getting it from the very same nonprofit developers who are actually the ones who would be beneficiaries of the overlay. So they're funding the organization who are then going to endorse a bunch of candidates. And, you know, so it's getting weird.
I guess, yeah, I mean, I don't know. At the end of the day, you hear not that much housing is going to get built anyway.
I don't think that's true. And I'll tell you,
and there's just so much money. There's just so many places they can buy.
All right. So this is the sleight of hand. And because I was there when they presented, because that's exactly the word it said. Don't worry, this is only going to be a few projects per year. That'll be at maximum based on the funding available at the time.
Right, but now we're increasing funding, though.
Now,
right.
So now not only are they going to increase the funding from out of the city budget, so they're going to significantly increase the amount of funding.
Is it $5 million a year or is it $20 million a year?
No, they're talking about things that would be factored into the budget.
Okay.
But they now, as part of the mechanism for short-term rentals, they actually said, well, they want to dedicate at least 30% of any revenue from that toward this.
Guess what? That's not going to be a whole lot of revenue.
And the city manager said, oh, you wanted to go to 100%? Well, I would entertain that possibility, too.
It's still not going to bring in
millions of dollars. Plus, any of the revenue from cannabis sales would also, according to some proposals, be dedicated to this.
That I could see getting more money from.
Right. Yeah. Now, if indeed a real estate transfer tax were to go through, so far every time I've heard that mentioned,
where would that get dedicated?
Then everybody says, well, that should go to this purpose as well.
But so, also arts and stuff. There's a lot of thing in that basket. Preschool.
Well, I think the cannabis zoning was suggested that some of that should go for some arts funding and some things such as that. I haven't heard that on the real estate transfer tax proposal, which would be something that could only come from the state, so I don't know that would actually happen. But the point I'm making here simply is that if you actually put direct city budget money toward this, plus all these various other revenue sources, we're not talking about a small pot of money at this point. So we're really talking about doing potentially a really significant amount of new development. Now, you know, and again, I'm not against segregated housing, but the thing is, if you've already got essentially built up neighborhoods and you've just decided that let's target them now in order to tear down some buildings in order to put up much larger buildings, I think that's a pretty significant policy change. By the way, there's one other thing that I haven't heard anybody yet talk about, which is this, is that if you're a company like Justice Start or Homeowners Rehab, you already own properties.
Mm-hmm.
You can do this on the properties you already own. So if you, for example, got, out of some charity, you got a two-family house on a lot of a certain size, and you built that, and you turned it into affordable housing units, right? you could now basically build that one up to the quadruple density standard too. So you could do this in all these properties all around the city.
Well, they already own it and it's already been designated as affordable housing.
But they were under the existing zoning code. So it's not.
So they can do it now. They don't have to.
To me, the issue is not the who lives there and the affordability, whatever. It's the same. It's the what is an acceptable scale of building in already built neighborhoods.
Okay.
Right? Is it perfectly okay to basically drop in something that's quadruple the density that anybody else could possibly build? You know, just because you say you're doing the Lord's work.
Okay. You know? So, all right. What would an alternative be? They can get the money from the city and all these other funds, but would have to get a special permit to do the kind of zoning they want to do. Would that be an alternative?
You know, the thing is...
So in other words, they could afford to buy the building, but then they'd have to apply for special permits and do the normal stuff.
But you got to get into this matter that what is the purpose of zoning? Now, I will be the first to acknowledge that some zoning restrictions have been abusive.
People get special permits all over the place here.
You get special permits when there is, in fact, a special permit process.
Well...
You do not have a special permit process for most residential development, unless you're talking if you're doing things like in a planned unit development... you know, there are certain, like in the Central Square Overlay District, there are special permit processes where you can exceed height limits.
Okay, so you gave an example of a homeowner that wanted to add something in the back and how they...
Then you have to seek a variance. That's not a special permit.
Okay, so explain the difference then.
Special permit is granted by the planning board. The variance is you have to go to the Board of Zoning Appeal and you have to argue that you have a hardship.
Well, if it's just a start or a homeowner's rehab, could they say we're trying to increase... in our own property, and we want this to do this.
They would have to then make a case that somehow they're facing a hardship. But the point is that when you buy a property, you buy it, you get your eyes open, you know, with a full understanding of what you can and cannot do at that property. You know, what this whole overlay is basically saying is let's completely change those standards so that, in fact, if you just happen to be one of those guys, then you have completely different set of zoning rules apply to you.
Well,
I mean, I'm of the opinion that if zoning means anything, it has to be applied uniformly.
I agree. I guess the bottom line to all this is I'd hate to see the I really believe in the missions that the homeowners rehab and Just to Start do. They've done some incredible developments.
And they also own thousands of units in the city already.
Well, but why is that? Because maybe we've been welcoming to that, and that's good. Some people can live there now? Isn't that a good thing?
I think that's a good thing. But the thing is that it has always been built up to this point within the basic strictures that govern everybody.
Okay. So you're saying they can continue to, but maybe because
they still have to play by the rules.
The real estate climate has changed so much that they can no longer do that, given the prices.
Right, but as that climate has changed, the city has also implemented things like inclusionary zoning, which has basically produced more housing units.
But that has its own problems, true. It's good, but you're right. I mean, you feel like you're one of these people.
If the issue is, are you providing housing for people?
Okay.
I think inclusionary zoning has actually been a pretty damn good program.
Okay, but does it help house teachers and
it absolutely
nurses?
Does.
It does? Okay, it's not just low income? It's moderate income?
That's actually the beauty of inclusionary zoning.
All right.
The thing
is that when you built
so-called affordable housing using things like federal funds, it came with real strings attached to say, well, who you can build it for.
Yeah.
Right? So some of it was actually pretty low income.
Yeah.
The most beneficial program for providing housing for middle-income people was the housing that was built without any strings attached, because the money came from the private developers who built the housing. So the city actually had far more flexibility.
Didn't they have a lottery for those things, and didn't you still have to apply for that?
Well, I mean, in any situation where the demand exceeds the supply, you're going to have to have a situation.
But you're saying more people of a moderate income, say someone like myself, could actually allow inclusionary units to go toward middle-income, moderate-income people. And do that. You're saying they do?
And they do.
All right. Because to me, that is the missing piece of this also, where no one's talking about the middle income.
So then we're talking about inclusionary zoning as the better mechanism for doing so.
Okay.
And in fact, at that housing working group with Envision Cambridge, they did propose what they called a super inclusionary proposal That basically would allow additional density in exchange for, you know, putting in a higher percentage.
Yeah, I saw that in the first
iteration. I don't think it's dead, but, you know, the thing is, is the decision was made by thems that be that, in fact, they were going to push this particular program as opposed to focusing on the inclusionary. And I think that was a horrible mistake, you know. And
But the inclusionary only kicks in for 10 units or more, right?
Yes.
So all these people buying up properties in like Cambridgeport and stuff that are building these boxes are generally under 10 units. They're 8 units, maybe.
Typically,
Not, so not I'm just saying though. It doesn't.
Yeah,
that's
I mean,
not solving the
honestly,
problem.
If there's one thing that one of the
I'd rather see all of those be affordable, frankly, than you know just have one. But
right. But
I'm talking about small developments.
Right, but you know the issue about why have things become unaffordable is actually a much bigger question too.
Well, of course, that's
right.
Different.
I mean, and
everyone wants
and
to live here.
Well,
and it's happening all over the country.
It is happening all over the country. But the thing is that you know the city of Cambridge made some decisions when it decided to sort of grow. You know, life sciences, you know, the knowledge economy, whatever.
Right.
So basically said, these are the people we want to work in Cambridge. So those people said, well, we also would like to live in Cambridge. Mm. And that's really what has driven so much of this.
True.
You know,
well,
and,
growth,
and you know,
I mean, it's what
not,
are you going to do?
But it's
I
not
mean,
just growth. It's also a modification of what a city is. Cambridge was a manufacturing city, and a lot of people lived here because it was a manufacturing city.
But things change, Robert.
Things have changed, so therefore the people who are wanting to live here have changed too.
Right, and that's
and you
happened
to
all
some
over
degree,
the country.
You've got to go with the flow, you know?
Right.
You know,
so
I mean, you know, if you work in Kendall Square, you have every right to want to live in somewhere in Cambridge as well.
Well, they
you know?
Can live in Boston too.
Well, and
Kendall,
some do, some do, you know, but then again, you know, you can. In a lot of other jobs, there are a lot of places to live, too. You know, all up and down the Red Line, you can even go to Quincy and Braintree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not the end of the earth. You know?
Right.
So.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll talk about
back.
Some more things. There's
yes.
one new candidate as of today, too. We'll,
okay.
So anyway, we'll talk a little bit more
right.
about
See
that.
See you in the next segment.
Here on Cambridge Inside Out.
Okay.